Hello, guys. How you doing?
We're good. Feeling good.
Very
on
a, good. Strong.
Feeling good on a Friday. Yep. Very strong.
Awesome. Really good.
We knew this going
Glad
in.
To hear.
Yeah, we knew this going in that how the playoffs were structured, you were going to lose some good teams in round one just based on
yes.
the matchups, and you knew it was going to be maybe worse in round two. Colorado and Vegas had all the feel of a Western Conference final or even a Cup final. You have to feel for the Avalanche because, man, it was. They won six in a row, and it wasn't close. We were talking about their place in all time in terms of best teams in the playoffs. And then 4 games later, they're looking in the mirror at what went wrong. I know you would have heard the stuff that was said post-game and the reaction that's coming out of Denver. And from where I sit, it feels like the media and a lot of the fans are really kind of off base a little bit. But I guess expectations are very high when you're a President's Trophy team. What did you see with Colorado, or maybe more importantly, what did you see with Vegas?
You know, guys, I was thinking about this last night as I was watching the game. And what similarities do you see with all four teams in the semifinal?
Goaltending, but that's
yeah.
usually something we see anyway.
Yeah, but, you know, that's one of them. That's one. I agree with that. Like, there's a debate on... Do you really need good goalies or high-paying goalies? And this year, the answer appears to be yes. You know, Fleury is a Vezina guy. Price, I mean, we know what Price is and can be. Obviously, Vasilevsky is the elite of the elite right now. And, you know, Varlamov, I don't think he's put in that pedestal, but he knows how to carry a team because he's done it before. And... You know, some people said to me, I was talking about this one guy last night, and he said, well, Grubauer was a Vezina finalist. And the other guy I was talking to, who is a longtime goalie coach, said, the way he would frame it is, there's the big difference makers in the league and net are the goalies who understand how you have to be at that level for 2 months. And he said it's very hard to do. It's as much mental as it is physical. Are you prepared to ride the wave of up and down and understand how good you need to be for 2 months straight? And, you know, he said that a guy like Fleury would understand that, and a guy like, because he's been through it and he's wired that way, and a guy like Grubauer, he's just never done it to that level. And he said that that to him was a major difference in the series, is that if you look at the mistakes Fleury made, like the one at the end of the first period in game five, he knows how to handle that. He said, like, he felt watching that game that the way Fleury, like, waved his hand immediately, and, like, he's walking into that room and he's going, guys, that one's on me. I sucked there, and I will get us out of this. And he did. They got better, and he got better. So I do think the goaltending is one thing. I think guys who have consistently shown that they can be at that level, not just in the NHL, but kind of throughout, even sometimes before they get to the NHL, he thinks that's a big deal. So, but the other thing I'm thinking about, guys, is look at the defense corps on these teams. They're deep. They're mean. There's some elite skill on guys like Petrangelo and Theodore in Vegas for sure. But, you know, these are four very physical and, if necessary, brutal defensive cores. And, you know, there's no sport that changes more in the regular season in the playoffs than the NHL does. And to me, it's not just refereeing. I don't think that's a right thing to say. I think the mentality of the players changes a lot. I think there's things that they will do in the playoffs that they won't do in the regular season when it comes to themselves and their mm-hmm. opponents. And I just wonder if, you know, there's, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, I think there's a regular season NHL and there's a playoff NHL. And to be successful in the playoff NHL, you need meanness on your blue line. Well, I really believe that.
You know, you look at the teams that just went out. Boston got thin on the blue line with injuries,
yep.
and obviously Chara, Krug, they never really replaced those guys. It was a lot on McAvoy.
And Miller.
Yep,
Miller is a guy. Yep.
Winnipeg, mm-hmm. we know what happened there. They lost all yeah. those guys, plus DeMello goes out. And watching last night, Colorado, I mean, Vegas just went to town on those young guys. It was a long series for, I mean, Girard got boxed out on that one goal last night and just got pushed around. It was a long series. So I'm with you. Where does Carolina fall in? Because they would be the one outlier, I suppose.
I just think Tampa is so good. Like Sergachev and Savard is their third pair. I mean, how many teams in the AHL would they be the first pair on?
Jeez, yeah.
It's an embarrassment of riches in Tampa. I know, Doug, I love the Dougie Hamilton quip from yesterday about how they're $18 million over the cap, and they're, you know, that. Do you think that?
I thought it was a funny line, but I'm not buying it. Like, yeah. First of all, how many teams in the NHL are over the cap?
Lots, yeah.
A lot. And secondly, ever since this happened with Patrick Kane in Chicago in 2015, if they weren't going to solve it 6 years ago, they're just not that interested in solving it. So, yeah. You know, you have to deal with it, right? Like, it's a good line. I laughed, but it's just the way this game, the league is. If you want to game it, they let you game it. And to be honest, I'm not convinced it's a bad thing. I'm really not. So when I see Carolina losing in the second round, I don't think it's because of their flaws. Uh-huh. I think it's just like, look who they went up against.
And you know what? I think it's important for people that only saw the headline or heard the 10-second soundbite. Like, Hamilton went on to say, like, he's got no problem with it. They're doing what other teams have done, and he respected the crap out of the skill. It was more a comment on, as you said earlier, the embarrassment of riches. Could the Bruins be looking at a similar thing with Tuukka Rask, who said, I believe you were reporting or at least retweeted some stuff saying he wants to be only in Boston, his family's there, but also will need some surgery? I mean, is that something where they maybe look to push that back a little to gain some cap space?
I could. I mean, now I wonder if they're going to go out and get another goalie, too. Like, I know they really like Swayman. I think they really believe in him. But are you starting next year with Swayman and Vladar? I don't think you are. So whether it's Halak or someone else, I think they've got to add another goalie. This is purely my opinion. I always try to put myself in people's shoes and think what they're thinking. You know, Rask took a lot of heat last year for leaving the bubble early. Once we heard the full story about, you know, what some of the things his daughter were going through, I think anybody who's a parent understands that decision. But part of me really wondered, guys, if he thought about or was thinking about, okay, last year, you know, people were on me because I left. And, you know, it was obvious. All you had to do was watch him and realize how much he was hurting this year. And we know guys will put themselves through a lot in the playoffs, but I'm wondering if part of him was saying, like, I can't leave early 2 years in a row. I can't take myself out. And even though what happened last year is not his fault, and like I said, once I heard the full story, I'm doing the same thing he did, I still wonder if guys think about stuff like that. I really do. Like the whole Scheifele thing, you know, I think he's looking at it like, I got knocked out last year because of injury, we lost. I got knocked out this year because of suspension. You know, we lost. I know that most people think he should just stop, but I understand what he's thinking. You're sitting there and you're saying, I'm not here and we're losing, and it eats you alive. And I think that's probably what Rask was going through. He said, I wasn't here last year. We lost. I'm not allowing myself to be taken out of this. And I'm sure the organization and the players appreciate and understand it. I just think the thing is now I think Boston's decision is going to be, you know, do we believe in his health after he gets repaired for him to come back next year, or do they go in a different direction?
Colorado's done, and it is another season that ends without them getting to the third round. I was stunned to hear only Columbus and Florida have longer droughts from the third round. That was a stunner for me. How does a fan base react and the organization react? Because it happened quick. They'd won six in a row, and then they lose four in a row. That's a roller coaster.
It is a roller coaster, and all you had to do was listen to McKinnon and Bednar last night to know, you know, what that was going to mean, right, and how it felt. You know, the one thing, I think you have to be sometimes careful with the way the playoffs in the NHL are structured when you look at your team. You know, Colorado lost to an elite team in the second round of the playoffs. Like, this is not, like, I don't have a problem anymore. Like, there's no point in fighting about how the NHL playoffs are structured. That's the way they are, and we just have to deal with it. But I think what you have to do is if you're an organization, you have to understand what each playoff loss means. You can look at it and say, oh, we lost in the second round. That's disgusting. Fire everybody, trade everybody. Or you could say, well, yes, we did lose in the second round, but because of the structure of the playoffs, look who we lost to. And I would look at it that way. But, you know, like to me, there's some big things right here. Are you signing Makar, Calgary guy, long term? And if you're signing Makar long term, which I think the Avalanche would like to do, what's that number?
Oof. It's got to be big, doesn't it?
Big. B-I-G, big. So that, and you know you have to deal with MacKinnon in a couple of years, right? And that number is also B-I-G, big. So, you know, you have to, like, this was their window. I think that's what the frustration, and not to say that their window's closed, but this was a certain financial window for them.
Even the goalie, right? And, goalie's a Vezina guy, now he's a UFA.
Yeah, but I think you might have to, because I think on the pecking order, I think Landeskog would be ahead of the goalie too, right?
Yeah, but I guess what I say is, like you say, you look at the circumstances. You had Makar on his entry level. You got a great year out of your goaltender. You're still like $6.3 million. You feel like you're stealing money with MacKinnon at that kind of dough. You know, Saad, you're not.
Back. I think they're not. There's no way. I don't think they're going to be able to keep him.
They can't have room for him. It's a lot. So
you've got a big number, Makar. You got a big number coming, MacKinnon. You want to do justice by Landeskog, although you're going to ask him to take a little bit of a haircut in terms of what he could get. It's like a bit like Hyman here in Toronto. I don't know how, unless Grubauer is really willing to take a haircut, I don't know how that's going to work there. I think they're going to have to make some decisions. But this year, they traded Ian Cole. It wasn't something they wanted to do. It was a cap roster move, especially when Byram was coming. And they lost Eric Johnson to injury, who's a huge part of their team. I could see Colorado saying, on our blue line, we're going to need some beef here. Like, you guys talked about Girard. I think Girard is an excellent player. I just think that they targeted him, and they got him a little bit. Now, I think long-term, that's going to help Girard. It's only going to make him better. But I think they're going to look at it and say, you know, Ian Cole, Eric Johnson, we could have used someone like that.
Well, I was looking this morning. It's funny you mentioned Ian Cole, because that series where Calgary got blown out a couple years ago by the Avalanche, Ian Cole was great.
And I looked he's really good.
Like, they're retaining salary. They're paying Ian Cole not to play for them. And the deal that they made, it ended up getting Devin Dubnyk, who didn't play. So I feel for them, because they're going to have to really take a look in the mirror. But, man, losing to Vegas, there's no shame in that. It's hard.
They tied for the President's Trophy. Yeah. It was a tiebreak that was the difference. Like, that's a good team in round two. That's tough.
Anyway,
that's why I think you can't look at it and say we lost in round two.
Yeah.
You have to look at it and say, we lost in round two, but we lost to Vegas because of the setup. Like, that's the way you have to treat it.
I guess kind of quickly, I don't want to spend too much time on it. We had Gerard Gallant on this morning. Great guy.
What did he have to say?
Everything you exceed, but one of the best guys ever, right?
Just a beauty.
Wants to get back in. He's just happy to be in the mix. Does it feels like New York to you?
I think Columbus really thought about it. Did you guys ask him about, just out of remote curiosity, did you guys ask him about Columbus at all?
I didn't ask about Columbus just because I felt like that very rarely do teams go back to the same well.
Well, no, I'm not ripping you. I'll rip you for taking like lots of vacation time. I won't rip you.
I got some coming too. I can't wait.
Oh boy, look.
I wouldn't rip you for that. Like, I do think Columbus. I think Columbus took a long look at him. I do think he was very much in the mix there. I think one of the things they were talking about was there a number that both sides could get to, and I think they talked about it. I think they were really considering it. But ultimately they went with Larson, and that says to me that Columbus is looking at a bit of a rebuild here. I do think he's very high on the Rangers list. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up there at all. I know from the beginning, once the Rangers had an opening, they saw Gallant as a very serious contender there.
Gotta love that. The East Coast guy from small towns going to the Big Apple. That'd be fun.
And there's no fallout coming. Like in Winnipeg or Boston or anywhere, they're not going to look at changes, are they?
I don't believe Winnipeg. Like Winnipeg, the only way I think they were considering changes if for some reason Maurice wanted to go, which I don't believe is the case. So I believe Winnipeg's coming back with Maurice. Boston, I tend to think they're coming back with Cassidy, although as we do this right now, they haven't had their formal coach and GM conversations, but my expectation was he's coming back. You know, the real wild card is Carolina. You know, I think it's most likely Carolina or nothing for Brind'Amour, although I do think other teams are going to say, can we at least talk to him? I mean, it's like the line I use, if the prettiest girl in high school doesn't have a date for the prom, do you shoot your shot or not? So I think that's kind of the way I look at it.
We're just following up on Brind'Amour. Kevin Weeks was on with Rintoul yesterday in Vancouver, and I caught a bit of that chat, and he had noted that the type of hometown deal Brind'Amour is willing to give Carolina is significant, like maybe less than half of his market value potentially, but the ask
It's 1.8, and that would probably be true, yeah.
Like, that is wild to me. And if that's the case, why isn't this done? Like, taking care of the assistants is not going to be a $3 million a year thing. Like, hello, get this done here. They risk toppling something over here, aren't they?
I'm with you, Ryan. And I think the other thing, too, is that, you know, I think the thing you risk if you don't settle this is that people will look at you and say, if you're not going to take care of Rod Brind'Amour, who are you going to take care of?
Culture setter, right?
Yeah. Good point.
And I think that's the thing. You know, I think in companies you have people who other employees look at as kind of like your model employee. If he or she is someone who is dedicated, does all the right things, and sets the right tone and other employees believe in them. I think that's kind of one of the questions I think people are looking at is if you can't settle this, you risk sending a message that no one's ever going to be settled.
And I wanted to ask you, I don't even know I was going to say quickly, don't know that we can, but heard your report out of Toronto yesterday on the radio. I guess just the status Buffalo with Jack Eichel. It's changed a bit. We got you?
You're talking like, I got to tell you, like, I didn't think like anything I said yesterday about Eichel was really that newsworthy, but I guess it shows I have lousy news judgment.
No, you have much sway. That's what it is. You're a heavy hitter.
I agree with you, Elliot. I thought everything that you said was what we expected was the case. No,
I just I would feel like would Buffalo maybe not still be in the let's try and find a way to mend the fence and to keep Jack. We can't win an Eichel trade.
I don't think so. I don't think, like if you heard Adams, you know, look, like they got young guys there who really spoke like Cousins. What he said at the end of the year, I thought was really huge for them. Middlestad took a big step. They just win the lottery. I mean, I assume they're going to take Owen Power and look at the way that guy just played at the Worlds. Your veterans there, and I don't even really blame them. They've been through a lot of losing. It's enough. They need a fresh start, and I think the Sabres see that too. And, you know, I mean, it's tricky. This whole thing with his injury and the road they want to go down on, it's a tricky thing. But, I didn't think I said anything there that was new, but I guess it has to be reiterated that I don't think he's coming back, and I think they're moving on.
What does the timeline for that look like, in your opinion? Is this pre?
I think they've begun talking. Like Andrew Peters, who I was on with yesterday in Buffalo, said they think it gets done, you know, before or at the draft, and I agree with that. I think it gets done around that time, if not before. I think we had to wait, Ryan, until everybody knew where everyone was picking through the lottery. We know that now. I think the other thing that's kind of tricky with this one is, you know, we've all talked about the procedure he wants. And, you know, I think teams are like, I know I've gotten calls from teams saying, you know, what else do you know that you haven't written about and things like that. So teams are trying to really do their research on what Eichel's talking about here and what that could mean.
And then final one for me, just a thought on Kirk Muller coming to Calgary. What are the Flames adding to their bench alongside Daryl Sutter?
Well, I think he'll have a kind of similar mentality as Sutter. Like Mueller was a really good player. He was unlike Sutter, who was a late round pick. Mueller was a very high pick, number two overall. But he was still a guy who, you know, made the most out of his talent. And it's one of the things he talks about with all of his players is how can you squeeze the most out of what you've got to give, right? So I think that that's going to be something, like I think him and Sutter would be really aligned in that way of thinking, which is, you know, everything, you've got to squeeze the maximum about yourself out of yourself to be successful, because he was very much that kind of a player. So I see a guy who definitely would have a similar way of teaching and believing that the head coach would. And, you know, I've had he does a lot of power play stuff. You know, what's interesting is in Montreal, they did a power play that's not like most power plays anymore. They bomb away from the point because they have Weber there, right? And I just wonder now in Calgary, where you're not going to be doing that, what new wrinkles he will try on the power play.
Elliot, appreciate you. Have a fine weekend, sir.
All right, guys. When's the vacation start?
Well, Kelly's on me to book because apparently I've got a lot of time to take. So I'm,
Rhett's,
you know,
quarter of a year has begun. So
How do you have, like, with all the all the time you're off, how do you bank? I have to say you've got a good agent, Mr. Mulberg. You have a very good agent.
There's two things. There's holiday time and there's compensation. And one is more impressive than the other. I'll say that much. Yeah. Thanks, Elliot.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too.
See ya.